Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for April 22nd in the year of our Lord, 2023. This is hour one of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country, to do so on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the incredible checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the supreme law of our land. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the solution. Along with the promotion of God, family, and country, and protecting life, liberty, and property, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Yesterday, I was with Dr. Scott Bradley for two incredible hours. We talked about a bunch of different things. We talked about what is the top threat facing the American people, number one. And you know what? Really, religion and morality at top the list. There's so many other things that we could talk about, but really, it all comes down to morality within the people. And you turn to God and it's good, and you don't, it's a failure. We talked about our caller, Greg, jumped in to say, hey, communism is one of the greatest threats to we the people. And he's right about that. But again, it's really the same point that we're making, whether it's religion and morality to save us or whether it's communism to destroy us, really that liberty is God's plan. Tyranny is Satan's plan. And so there's no doubt that communism embraces tyranny and the constitutional republic idea promotes liberty. So yes, indeed, that is critical, to say the least. We talked about Fox News and Dominion settled their lawsuit, $787 million. It's a disaster for Fox. But it's more of a disaster for free speech in America, too, though. Can the Fox folks say what they want to? What if you even say things that are wrong? Can you say those things? Does the First Amendment say you can't tell lies? Does the First Amendment say that you can't say things you don't really believe internally? That was the big problem with Fox internally. They had statements between themselves and their colleagues, private statements, that were then used against them in court saying, you didn't even believe what you were saying. See, those things are not relevant. There's no prerequisite that you got to believe what you're saying. There's no prerequisite that you got to tell the truth. You just have the right to say what you want to say. Now, there becomes a line crossed libel and slander. But to say that the Dominion voting machines are a problem, that they're corrupt, that they're not, okay. Now, they didn't even prove that point. They just said you can't say this kind of stuff. They didn't go in and research the software and the code to prove what was alleged. This is a big free speech crisis, in my opinion, ladies and gentlemen. The federal court also ruled against Alvin Bragg. Now, I'm not really an Alvin Bragg supporter. I think what he's done is wrong. But you know what? Chairman Jim Jordan said you got to have your people subpoenaed. The Congress has no authority over the several states, folks. This, to me, is a serious problem. Most folks are jumping on the side of the Republicans on this. The federal court has ruled against Alvin Bragg's effort to block a subpoena from Chairman Jim Jordan. They say no one's above the law. You got to submit to the congressional inquiry. See, I don't think so. I think this is a shame. I think this is the general government just literally lording over the states in an unconstitutional way. Where's the authority to impanel a Congress to give them, quote, subpoena power or force you to testify power? Or they're a legislative body. Where do they become judge, jury, and executioner? I got a problem with all that. Anyway, we also talked about Robert F. Kennedy Jr. running for president. We talked about that in detail, and that's something that we're going to talk about on Monday in greater detail with Dr. Scott Bradley. So that's a summary of what we talked about. I also want to talk with our next guest slash co-host, Chris Carlson. First off, welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Yes, sir, Sam. Without God, we cannot win. With God, we cannot lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in that fight. Lieutenant Carlson, reporting for duty, sir.
Excellent. I went to a restaurant Thursday night, and I talked about it with Dr. Scott Bradley on Friday yesterday, and the restaurant is called Your Mom's. And the Your Mom's restaurant is a cool restaurant. It's basically Southern Cajun comfort food restaurant located in historic downtown Smithville, Texas. Yourmoms.net is the website. They say we are not a fast food restaurant. honest food takes time and love. We talked about the restaurant because it was so cool. They had some of the best gumbo I've ever had in my entire life. Yourmoms.net to learn more, and I recommend you go there if you ever get to Smithville, Texas. It's on the way from Austin to Houston to give folks a reference point. Anyway, incredible restaurant, incredible people, nice as all get out. And we talked about how food nurtures the soul. Good food, good company, good people, times, laughter, memories. Anyway, we spent a little bit of time on this. I bring this up because Chris Carlson and I talked about on St. Patrick's Day broadcast about going to restaurants. And we talked about an incredible restaurant in Salt Lake City that's called Piper Down. I said that Chris should take his wife on a date to that restaurant. And as far as I understand, sir, you did just that, right?
A little late, but better late. Yeah, well, we actually made an abortive attempt to do that on St. Patrick's Day that evening. But, you know, who would have thought that there would have been a line a mile long on St. Patrick's Day to an Irish pub?
Yeah, it's kind of like trying to go out to dinner on Valentine's Day. Good luck with that, buddy.
Yeah, you might as well start in the morning there. You might not have to fight.
But you did double down and go to Piper Down, right?
Absolutely. We followed up on your advice. In fact, we tried in that night. The Piper Down had a line of, you know, pretty long. And then we tried to go to the Green Pig, which was another restaurant that you recommended. By the time we got to the door, there was a $10 cover fee per person, and they wouldn't let our doggy in. And we had the doggy with
they
us,
wouldn't,
and I
what?
Was so tired. Our dog. We had our little dog, our little Deshaun Frise that we take with us everywhere. I know.
You want to take your dog to – Hold on. You want to take your dog to a restaurant?
We do it all the time, Sam. We take him to the movies, too, and to the store.
Why would you do such a thing?
Because we love our dog. He's part of the family now that we're empty nesters. I know how you feel about it. Anyway, we could have taken the dog back to the car, put him in the car, and gone to the restaurant. But between the dog not being allowed in and the $10 cover fee and me being cold because it was like freezing to death.
Yes, it was.
Freezing to death.
And it still is, huh?
Stood in line for 45 minutes and it getting late. All of that combined, we just thought, man, we'll try some of that. And we did. So we went to Piper Down. Probably 2 weeks ago. It was just about a week ago that we did one thing. And it was delicious. And I appreciate the recommendation. I ate the corned beef and cabbage. And it was absolutely delicious. And my wife had the Irish stew. So thanks for the recommendation.
The Irish stew is delicious, isn't it?
Oh, it was great. Yeah.
And I've never been to Piper Down, by the way, yet. I want to go, but I have eaten Irish stew plenty of times. And I've eaten corned beef and cabbage many times as well. But it's just an experience, and one of the reasons that Chris and I were talking about it is, you know, America is a wonderful place, and when people used to come to America, immigrate to America, they would jettison their old world, and they would embrace the American ideal, the American dream. They would become Americans, and some wouldn't even speak their mother language in their homes. Some wouldn't, refer to the homeland that they came much because they wanted to become Americans. And I understand that view, especially if you came from hard times or America represents liberty and freedom and prosperity and hope, and where you came from does not. I get a lot of the old immigrants not wanting to really, keep a lot of their traditions and a lot of their things alive. That's one extreme. The other extreme, though, is to come to America and build an enclave of your, quote, people. And that's what we've done in America today. We have, you know, these districts where everybody comes to America. They want to have the American dream, but really they're nothing but a transplant promoting their homeland even above the country they came to for freedom. And that's the other extreme. In the middle says, you know what, we want to become Americans and we want to identify with America. We want to learn English so well it becomes virtually our first language. We want to embrace the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, and the traditions and the beliefs and the understandings of America that engender liberty, free market enterprise, and so on. But you know what, we want to hold on to enough of our heritage to remember where we're from. And in my opinion, that kind of middle viewpoint, neither extreme, is really the valuable answer, because then you bring all these cultures, you tell stories about what went wrong in your former country so that we never repeat it in America. You don't create enclaves or holdouts or whatever you want to say, sectors of division in America, because you're Americans. But yet you do retain your culture. You do retain some of the cool things of different countries, the foods, the customs, the culture, the, and that's something that we all ought to celebrate and learn about and be involved in and explore one another's cultural, historical, relevance and all this kind of, anyway, to me, that's kind of the answer. And I mentioned that with Dr. Scott Bradley yesterday, because this girl created her Southern roots and Southern Cajun cooking because she learned it from her grandpa. And anyway, she created this incredible restaurant called Your Mom's. But it was great. And I really enjoyed learning about the Cajun foods and culture and what brought her. I mean, she basically said she put her heart and soul into this gumbo food that she makes, that she resurrected the recipe by trial and error of her grandpa and this kind of stuff. And anyway, just tremendous cultural experiences. We celebrate that on this program, Chris.
Absolutely. So I don't know if the audience knows, my wife is foreign. She's from Peru. And from her, I have learned to speak Spanish somewhat. I wish I could speak more fluently. But that's another aspect of people that kind of, my grandfather, by the way, from a completely different part of the country. His parents came from Sweden. And I remember him talking about how his younger sister learned how to speak Swedish growing up in the home, even though they lived here in America, but because it wasn't emphasized. So if your parents speak a foreign language because they're from a foreign country, I encourage them to teach their language to their children, even though they may be growing up here in America.
I couldn't agree more, ladies and gentlemen. It's that balancing for the best outcome possible that's key. Chris Carlson, Sam Bushman in seconds on Liberty Roundtable Live.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at CSPOA.org. That's CSPOA.org.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an Immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. So we're talking about, hey, we encourage people to learn their mother language, cultural, and their parents know it and everything else. It's always smart to have that. And maybe it'll be a second language. Maybe you won't know the language perfectly. But the more we communicate in America and the more we communicate around the world, the better. It's when communications cease that we have real problems, Chris.
Oh, yeah, that's the problem. We need to realize that we have much more in common than we have different, because even if you're not a Christian, and I like to say that this country is a Christian nation, but if you're a good Buddhist, if you're a good Muslim, well, that's a sticky topic, Islam. But if you live your religion, and it is a religion of peace and harmony and individual responsibility, then we welcome you here, because to me, that's That's what this nation is made of, people that are willing to look at our similarities and try to build on those similarities and to live peacefully, harmoniously, and productively together. That's all I expect from my neighbor. And he may have something to contribute to this country that will enrich it, that will make it more culturally enriched. And, you know, we talk about going out to the different restaurants, and that's one example. You know, eating Irish food and eating Mexican food, Italian food, you name it. I mean, those experiences, to me, enrich this nation and add to its greatness. So I welcome people that bring and enhance this country in whatever way they and their culture can contribute to it.
Learning about histories, learning about our ancestry, doing DNA tests. And I know a lot of people are against those because they're like, hey, the deep state just gets your DNA. But to me, really understanding your cultural history, understanding who you are and who your ancestors are, turning our hearts to our children and our children to the fathers in ways that can promote family history. And it's just tremendous stuff. And again, whatever your history, whatever your culture, whatever your ethnicity, we encourage you to celebrate it. To understand your heritage, to understand who you are, where you come from. And if there's negative there, like slavery, or negative there, like indentured servants, which were in my family, indentured servants kind of thing, ignore the negatives of history that you can't change, that are already set in stone, that are past. Make sure that we don't repeat those things. But you know what? Don't dwell on them. Everybody who comes to America, no matter how you got here, no matter how troubled the past was or is, you can look at the bright side and say all the benefits and all the blessings that have come from coming to America, the greatest country for liberty ever known to man. My great, 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 I can't remember how many greats, grandmother was an indentured servant. I don't dwell on that. I mean, it's sad that she was. It's horrible. I want to make sure that never happens again. But the sacrifice that it took for people to come to this country is incredible. And we needed to really realize that. The members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, they've been abused more than anybody else in the country. I'm talking more than the Native Americans, more than the blacks. The Mormons, over religious persecution, were abused more than anybody. I happen to come from that status as well. So if you want to talk about indentured servants, I know about it. It's in my family. If you want to talk about being a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and religious persecution, you know what? My people have suffered that too. As a totally blind person, yeah, I've suffered from discrimination and more as a blind person. You know, I remember I used to have a dog, and the reason that I mentioned that Chris Carlson brings his dog into a restaurant, he has no reason to except for he loves his dog. Okay, the rest of us might cringe at that, right? But I used to bring a dog into a restaurant for disability reasons. I had a guide dog. And I would bring my dog into a restaurant, and a lot of restaurant owners when I was in California and different places, especially those who were immigrants, believe it or not, would not let me come in with my dog at all. They'd kick me out of the restaurant and say, you can't come in here, even though the law said that I could.
Wow. Now,
there's no law that says that Chris Carlson needs to take his dog to the restaurant. But I digress, except for I'm making a point in America that, you know what, this is so I've experienced all these things. And I understand what it's like to be discriminated against. I understand what it's like to be persecuted for some of these things. Anyway, it's a very interesting dynamic. But in America, the whole point of all this is we try to jettison those negatives, those stereotypes, those hostilities. We don't want to do it by force of law. We do want to do it by kind civility, by leadership, by humble, patient persuasion, and encouraging people to learn about and do what's right and overcome bias and overcome hatred and overcome confusion and misconceptions and et cetera. We want to be kind and considerate and respectful to all people, even if we disagree with their beliefs. We can draw the line and say, I don't have to go along with those beliefs, but it's very, very important. I don't want to spend forever on this, Chris, but that's what kind of engendered these discussions about restaurants and who we are, et cetera. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Donald Trump always in the news, more so than anybody ought ever be in the news. But nevertheless, Donald Trump says, quote, they are weaponizing our justice system. It's a Fox News quote with Tucker Carlson, and Donald Trump will play this and come back and talk about it.
Well, Well, it was a horrible thing because I did nothing wrong. Absolutely nothing wrong. You look at even the pundits and the legal analysis, Greg Jarrett, all of these really talented people, they're saying he didn't do anything wrong. So that's number one. Number two, they were incredible. When I went to the courthouse, which is also a prison in a sense, they signed me in. And I'll tell you, people were crying. People that work there, professionally work there, that have no problems putting in murderers and they see everybody. It's tough, tough place. And they were crying. They were actually crying. They said, I'm sorry. They'd say, 2024, sir, 2024. And tears are pouring down. There is, I've never seen anything like those people are phenomenal. Those are your police.
Yep.
Those are the people that work at the courthouse. They're unbelievable people. Many of them were in tears or close to it. Many apologists were sorry, sir. We're sorry. They had to have me do certain things. They said, sir, I can't believe I have to ask you. I can't even believe that I have to ask you to do it. You could see. So in one sense, it was beautiful because they get it. In another sense, you know, it's nasty. I went to the Wharton School of Finance. They didn't teach me about that. That wasn't like
they
in
the about the arraignment part?
We didn't have a class on arraignment. And, it was a sad day in many ways. And in many ways, it was a beautiful day because the people understand. I didn't know this was happening, but the poll numbers have gone through the roof. The people get it. And the other ones are hoaxes also. You know, the box hoax. Look at Biden. He's got 1,850 boxes. And, you know, that's a hoax. And then the one in Atlanta where I had a perfect phone call. This is all weaponization. They're weaponizing our justice system, Tucker. And they think if they go and give you a subpoena, you know, I guess I'm very well known and people understand it and they get it. And maybe I have a bigger platform so I can explain it. But if you're somebody, a Republican, let's say, running for office, and you get a subpoena, you might as well resign because you're not going to be able to survive it.
Chris?
Yeah. So you're probably wondering why I had you run that piece. It's all about Donald Trump, it seems like. He didn't talk anything about securing the border, which he failed to do in 4 years of his initial presidency, assuming he gets another one. He didn't talk about the Constitution being shredded. He didn't talk about standards of living plummeting in the United States of America. He didn't talk about billions of dollars going to a foreign country to fight a war between two corrupt powers. He didn't talk. He talked about himself. And I know he kind of deflected the praise to the people. You know, that's a tactic that he used. But it seems to me, Sam, like our focus is not on the foundational issues that made our country great, but it's on this indictment that they've leveled against Trump, and everybody's focused on that, while our country, in the meantime, is being shredded to pieces by illegal immigration, by the social welfare program. Everybody wants something for nothing. And Donald Trump is trying to deflect, and the media, in cooperation, this is the thing that I want to pay particular attention to, because Donald Trump is just one individual. I mean, he can only do so much. The media is cooperating in creating this this individual. They're converting him from the nation's greatest bully now to the nation's greatest victim. And unfortunately, in the minds and hearts of conservatives, it's working, Sam, and it's troubling. Because I think the media is trying to get this man reelected. And a lot of people are saying that what they're doing is an attempt to hurt him. I don't see that. And I would like to listen to your opinion on that. I think this is...
As a whole, I agree with you 100% that, you know what? This sadly has become about Donald. And it shouldn't be. He is highlighting the weaponization of our justice system and that you don't get even a fair shake like he does. He got a fair shake. They were sorry about it. You don't even get that chance. He mentions he has a big platform, and it's different for him. He did highlight some critical components. However, the Trump indictment deception is real. We'll talk about it.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
U.S.
USA News, I'm Jeremy Scott. The Supreme Court pushes pause on lower court rulings that would have disrupted access to the abortion pill, mifepristone.
The decision comes after the court extended a temporary stay on a Texas federal judge's ruling to halt production and distribution of the drug. Mifepristone was originally approved by the FDA back in 2000. It's been used by over 5 million women since. The case now travels back to the Fifth Circuit Federal Appeals Court, where a three-judge panel will hold a hearing on May 17th. I'm Ryan Daniels.
President Biden signs an executive order to take steps to curb pollution affecting low-income and minority communities, directing federal agencies to focus more on environmental justice initiatives. The order also creates a new Office of Environmental Justice. The administration is investing millions into water conservation projects across the country. The Department of Interior announced yesterday $140 million will be spent in 15 states. The New York Times reports the Air National Guardsman accused of leaking classified documents had started doing that earlier and to a wider audience. Karen Sloan reports from New York.
The Times review of online postings found someone matching the profile of Jack Teixeira started putting out secret information about the Russian war effort in Ukraine as early as February of 2022. And that classified intelligence was shared in a chat room on Discord, a social media platform popular with gamers, which had around 600 members. The 21-year-old airman who was arrested on April 13th was an information technology specialist based in Massachusetts who had a top-secret clearance.
Today is National Prescription Drug Take-Back Day. Pharmacies, hospitals, police stations, and other locations accepting all kinds of medications. This is USA News.
I've got a unique vacation idea for you that's right here in the United States. If you're ready for a vacation that's fun and downright affordable, listen up. It's driving distance for many of you, so no planes, no airline delays, no hassles. It's Branson, Missouri, the entertainment capital of the Midwest. Live music for everyone. Branson has three beautiful, enormous lakes, water attractions, live shows, great food, and tons of entertainment. It's a perfect vacation for you and your family, or if you're retired and you want to have a great time. And you can stay in Branson for as low as $99 a night. Please understand, this is not a timeshare offer. It's a real vacation for as little as $99 a night. We've got a free vacation guide we want to send you right now. All you have to do is call for complete details. Get your free Branson, Missouri guide right now by calling this number.
800-399-4215. 800-399-4215. 800-399-4215. That's 800-399-4215.
All right, Sam Bushman and Chris Carlson, ladies and gentlemen. Under the headline, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Donald Trump rightly says they're weaponizing our justice system. He said that to Tucker Carlson, and he's right about that. He also highlights another truth, which is, look, he's got special privilege. He's got a big platform, lots of money. They can't do to him what they can do to us. But look, they make a scandal up about you, they weaponize things against you, and you're done. So Donald rightly highlights those two things. We need to give him credit for rightly highlighting those two things. However, it is true that there's a Trump indictment deception, folks. All this is doing is giving Donald Trump, who failed at the presidency in 2020 because of election fraud, they're giving him now the carte blanche idea to turn him, instead of a big bully, instead of a guy that lost, into virtually a hero. He's getting tremendous news coverage out of this. Don't underestimate the role of the media and how they're playing in this docudrama against Donald Trump. Look, they're intentionally giving you the side that they want to promote Donald Trump out of this, giving him the victim status, but yet the hero status virtually at the same time through the careful manipulation and presenting of mostly facts, but yet twists that tell the story, paint the narrative they're seeking for, Chris.
Yes, and let's give credit where credit is due. I will give him credit, as you pointed out, Sam, that he is pointing out the corrupt nature of the entire justice system from top to bottom, from federal to state to local courts. They all have become corrupted through money, through the distribution of money, I would say. So I'll give him credit there. So I'm not completely and totally condemning him for, coming out against Alvin Bragg and his ilk. What I am saying is he had 4 years to educate the public on the nature of the situation, and he did not teach us constitutional principles. He did not and organize us in a way that we could, at the local level, at the state level, and at the federal level, could get rid of those bureaucrats and politicians.
You're right,
that could
but,
have made
Kurt, but Chris, in order for him to teach those constitutional principles, it's required that he knows them, my friend, and he does not.
He does not. Okay. So again, I mean, he's partially right, but there's a huge glaring hole there. And we could go down the list, and this would be review.
But
of
they've
some
created
of the
a made for TV docudrama here, though. They've created it's literally reality TV, though, made to titillate and defocus from things that matter most. Let's talk about your list of things that matter most, sir.
Okay. So during his 4-year presidency, and this is, again, this is review, so I'm going to go through pretty quickly. He talked about how terrible it was that that we had such a huge trade deficit with China, and China wasn't paying their fair share, all this. He actually increased our trade deficit with China. He increased our overall trade deficit by 15%. So, his tariffs and duties, they didn't work, apparently. Okay? He in his 2019...
Hold on. Let's stop and be fair. They worked. It would have been worse had he not done that.
Yeah,
but the point is
right.
he didn't do enough. Let me give you an example.
Enough.
Let's say that I'm going 100 miles an hour towards socialism. I slow the car down to 60, but I'm still going towards socialism. And then I tell you that I saved gas because I slowed down to 60.
Yeah,
I'm still,
you're still going the wrong
headlong
direction.
Into socialism. I haven't changed directions. I haven't really done anything that matters except I guess I've slowed it down and I've saved some gas. Not bad things. But not the point of the matter either, Chris.
No, but the 1%, I know 1% is a tiny number, right? It could have been, like you said, it could have been 20-30%. But that's compared to the 8 years under Barack Obama. So our trade deficit with China under Barack Obama for 8 years was actually better on average. I did the numbers. Anyway, so for whatever that's worth, I want to get through a couple more. He actually implemented Operation Warp Speed, which released literally tens of billions of dollars to the state and to individuals, and which facilitated massive amounts of money corruption. A lot of corporations, for example, venture capitalist funds, got massive amounts of government money based on Operation Warp Speed and some of the corporate welfare provisions under that. When in his 2019 State of the Union address, he said, "Here in the United States, we are alarmed by new calls to adopt socialism in our country. Tonight, we renew our resolve that America will never be a socialist country," unquote. And he proceeded to implement socialism during the last year of his presidency under Operation Warp Speed. Okay, and I don't want to go through them all because this is review. He never ended the wars of aggression. He didn't release federal lands from states. 68% of the state of Utah, for example, is controlled by the federal government, blah, blah, blah. We could talk about a lot more. But let's talk about media complicity. As you pointed out, and as I pointed out, Sam, this is a Trump docudrama, and it is not designed to discredit or disqualify him, as people are saying. And this is the point I'm trying to get across. This is helping him. Everybody is acknowledging that his poll numbers are increasing. It looks increasingly as if he will be the Republican nominee for the 2024 presidential election. The media is not stupid, Sam. What they're doing is boosting his likelihood of winning the presidency. And they did the same thing in 2016, as we pointed out, with the $4.5 billion worth of free media coverage. The media are not dumb. They know this is actually helping and not hurting. Why are the American people not catching on to it? That's what I would like to know. Okay? So I asked that question.
You got to ask yourself, catching on to what, Chris?
Catching
on to the
trick.
By the deep state?
That Donald is backed by the deep state, yes. And
Okay, so let me stop you there and say, when you don't know what the deep state is, because you've been propagandized to believe, indoctrinated to believe, it's nothing but a whacked out conspiracy theorist from the racist, right-wing, white supremacists, and nothing more, And that's what you believe because you watch mainstream media, because you grew up in your government schools, the 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto, and you've been literally indoctrinated against God and inoculated against God to be godless, to believe that the family is anything that the you know, warped folks want to make it to be. You know, family can be two monkeys and a gorilla, a dog, and a transgender, and that's a family. Then, you know, and they understand all this because they've been propagandized this their whole lives. And you wonder why they don't realize that the deep state's playing them for suckers? Well,
yeah,
that's a great question, but it's obvious the answer, right?
That's part of the answer. And Joel Skousen agrees with you. And he is a man that is easily manipulated, as Joel Skousen so eloquently points out. But he's got to be smarter than that. The guy graduated from Wharton School of Business, which you can't get into unless you have a pretty good intellectual foundation. I don't buy into the fact that he's being played for a fool. I think he knows exactly what he's doing. And I think he's willingly being led along by the deep state. And I think the people are the ones that, to me, it's more shocking that they're not waking up to this reality than him. Because Donald Trump's just one man. I mean, and he does have to be popularly elected. But people need to catch on to this fact. But since there are no other people waiting in the wings that they feel that they can rely upon for a political savior, they're glamming onto him. They're putting all their hope and trust in him. When I'm sorry, I got to get rid of this dog. He's barking. But the fact of the matter is, the people are the ones that I'm more concerned about. Donald Trump is just one individual.
Well, let me tell you, part of the problem, this nation's gone to the dogs, Chris.
I'm sorry. He's on a bender, this dog, this morning. I don't know what's gotten into him.
Yeah, I'm just telling you, that's the problem, is that the American people care more about their dogs than they do their country.
Well, I'm probably guilty of that, Sam.
I'm being serious, though. It's a matter of focus, that we the people are defocused, whether it's dogs, whether it's media, whether it's fame and fortune, whether it's watching the stars, whether it's reality TV, whether it's sex, drugs, or whatever. You know, we're deceived. And you know what? We cannot underestimate the role that the media is playing in all that, too. Now, Donald Trump has grown up with a silver spoon in his mouth. He's grown up as a rich cat. He's had fun toying with the media like a cat and mouse game for his whole life. He's very good at it. They love him. He loves them. He brings them ratings. They bring him money and fame and fortune. And it's a quid pro quo, of the likes of which you've never seen in your entire life. And so it brings up the question, why would the deep state want Trump to be our next president? I think the answer is simple too, Chris.
I've got five answers for that. Three of which you probably are familiar with because we've talked to it, but I've got some additional ones that might take you by surprise. Number one, this is important. Think about this, and I'm going to give you some statistics to back it up. The deep state must maintain the illusion of fair elections, in which conservatives have just as much of an opportunity for representation as do liberals. We'll continue that thread on the other side of the picture.
Roger that. Chris Carlson, Sam Bushman on your radio. It's all about God, family, and country for us, ladies and gentlemen. We need the American people to get aboard with that reality check. If we don't, we're in serious, serious trouble. There are solutions, though, and we talk about them on your radio.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
Matthew 24:24 teaches us that the church is deceived today. Deceived Christians call themselves Judeo-Christians. Around 1900, Jews commissioned the Scofield Reference Bible, which transformed the Jews from Christian killers to the chosen people. Here's the truth. America is in the Bible. Revelation 21. Our form of government came down from heaven. Verse 3. The many Christian ministers at the Constitutional Convention sought God's will. The God-given rights in the Constitution were ordained by God. America is the new promised land for Christian Israel, and Christians are the true chosen people. True Israel is Christian. Listen to Jesus, quote, "My sheep follow me," unquote, and, quote, "You do not believe because you are not my sheep," unquote. John 10:25-27. The beast has transformed America into the woman mystery Babylon, Revelation chapter 17. For the complete Bible study, write to Christian Knuckles, P.O. Box 210813, Royal Palm Beach, Florida 33421.
Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live with Sam Bushman and Chris Carlson. We were talking about Donald Trump. I'm sure Donald Trump would be a great fishing buddy or, you know, a guy to chum around with. But as a leader of the free world, not so much. I have never voted for him, and I never will vote for the man because I don't think he satisfies the three criteria upon which I vote for my leaders. He has to be good, he has to be wise, and he has to be good, wise, and what was the other one? Anyway, he doesn't satisfy the requirements that I have for a national leader. We were talking about the reasons why the deep state is promoting him as our next president, and I believe they are in a roundabout way. I will admit that it's not a direct endorsement. It's kind of a reverse psychology type of approach. But they must maintain the illusion of fair elections, which conservatives have just as much an opportunity for representation as do liberals. This reality, of course, is inconsequential because it doesn't really matter if we have a Republican or a Democrat in power at the head of our government. We always seem to get the same results. Now, Carol Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor at Georgetown University, wrote in his book, Tragedy and Hope, that we have to create a system, and he was very familiar with this system, whereby it didn't matter whether our president or our representatives or our judges or our local representatives were of either of the two controlled political parties, Republican and Democrat. We get the same results. That way, you create the illusion of choice, while in fact you're not really having much of a choice. Both of those parties are controlled by the same deep state mechanism. And I give an illustration of the fact, and I did some numbers, Sam, within our lifetimes, we're almost 56 years of age. Did you know that conservatives have held the presidency for 32 of those last 56 years, and Democrats have only held the presidency for 24 years? That's 57% representation by conservative presidents. Now, Congress is a little different story. I think the Democrats have the lead as far as that's concerned over the last 56 years. But we look at how much damage has been done within our lifetime under a majority of the time it being under conservative.
Well, you're right about that. And we got to be careful with words when we talk about conservative and liberal and Republican and Democrat. Remember, back in the day of Abraham Lincoln, Republican was a third party. Okay, it was primarily the Democrats and the Whigs at the time, and the Republicans were a third party. So those of you who say third parties can never, rise from the dust, you're wrong. But number one. Number two, most of the conservatives were Democrats. They felt like the Republicans were off the rails. They felt like the Republicans were, too hardcore and extreme in many ways. Most were Democrats, and it was to get a conservative at the time. By the way, the conservatives down in the founding era were considered liberals, just so you know. The founding fathers were liberals in their day.
Yes.
Conservatives wanted to stay with King George. Liberals wanted to break free. Okay, so all these words become very dicey fast when you really study history. But I bring that up to say that the Republicans were the outcast party, so to speak, and they kind of got in slowly but surely and eventually replaced the Whig Party. It's not been towards recent times, really, that the Republican Party has been more the conservative party, so to speak. The old dog Democrats used to be very, very, very conservative, more so than the Republicans were by far. Democrats back in the day were anti-war, where the Republicans were more hawkish. And now that's kind of switched around as well. And so you got to be very careful with words. And I don't mean to digress on this, but I bring it up because Donald is playing this partisan politics card to perfection.
Yeah, and he's doing a wonderful job. And, you know, when I listen to his speeches are very appealing. I will give him credit for that. He's one of the best speech makers. His vocabulary may not be the greatest, but his voice intonations and where he repeats words and he says things over, it, to me, that is a very, very effective strategy, because it sounds as if he's very sympathetic towards the people, when in fact, you need to look at his actions. And I think a lot of people have been deceived and led astray by his rhetoric, which is very, very good. But, the road to hell is paved with
intention. I would submit further, though, that he's intentionally simplifying his language on purpose. Because if he uses an eloquent vocabulary, if he starts using power words, is what they call them in radio, if he starts using unique demonstrations of his knowledge and his expertise in a given field, or he starts using words that folks don't understand, pretty soon he becomes this elitist and he's untouchable and he's not one of us. If he uses more fifth grade language that flies in a newspaper kind of a thing, or a general story, people begin to identify that, and they're like, you know what, Donald's not the elitist guy. Yeah, he went to school and he's rich, but Donald's one of us. I mean, I understood everything he said. This is by design, Chris, and people, believe it or not, are trained in speaking, trained in language articulation to do this on purpose. This repeating of phrases isn't because he's stupid and he lost track of where he's at. This is to make sure that certain things stick in your mind, Chris.
Yeah. Well, he's very good at it. Yeah, I agree. So that's number one. Number two, I think they want a conservative to be in office because it will further divide and polarize our country. See, you have to realize, now we talked about Saul Alinsky in the past, and we talked about his strategy: pick the target, freeze the target, personalize the target, and polarize it. In order to get both sides of the political spectrum fighting with each other, you need to make sure that both sides have somewhat equal representation. If there was a faction in this country that was composed of just a few percent of the population, that wouldn't be a very effective target in creating civil war. And they want civil war, by the way.
Uh-oh, I think we lost Chris. So they do want a civil war. There's no question about that. They want to attack us. They want to polarize us. They want to paint us as extreme. But they need enough in every camp to make the polarization complete, to make it literal in a real serious fractious divide among the people. If they just have a little, tiny faction here and a tiny faction there, you know what? It mattereth not. It's when they can create major factions, major fractionalization within the country, that's when they gain ground for their divide and conquer strategy. While we try to get Chris back, I just want to highlight, look, that's why the deep state wants Donald Trump to be our next president. Barack Obama's a great divider, and Donald Trump plays the same scenario, but from a different camp, Chris.
Yeah, did I mention the pick the target, freeze the target, personalize it? Did we get that?
Yes, sir. Yep.
Okay. So that formula creates not only villains, Sam, but creates heroes, because one villain to one person is a hero in the eyes of another person. And obviously the MAGA group are going to, the more the media persecutes Donald Trump, the more they're going to elevate him in their minds and in their hearts as the hero. Erroneously so, though, because they need to realize, they're not realizing, that this is a psychological operation designed to get us pumped up for, if not physical battle, at least intellectual battle, that will eventually erupt into physical battle. And that's something that we need to be concerned about, because I think we're going to see some of that if and when Donald Trump becomes our next president. But that strategy is being used very precisely at this point. and they're doing a wonderful job of it. People that I know who I think should know better are falling for it because of this persecution. And by the way, I would like to point something out. There are hundreds of people rotting in jail now for trespassing into the Capitol on January 6th and other minor misdemeanors. Oh, my goodness, that dog. Misdemeanor infractions. They point the finger at the left, points the finger at Donald Trump as being the mastermind of that operation. If he's so thoroughly persecuted and hated by the media, why is Alvin Bragg not bringing him up on charges of masterminding the January 6th riots? You have to ask yourself that. And remember, he was only indicted. Donald Trump was only indicted. He was not handcuffed. He was not perp walked. He was not committed to jail. He was just indicted. I mean, that's a relatively minor inconvenience in his otherwise illustrious lifestyle. So you have to realize that this persecution really isn't what I would consider persecution. It's just a show. It's just to create the illusion that they really hate him. They really love him.
Well, and why it's the Trump indictment deception we're talking about, because look, yes, he was indicted, but when you don't have to be handcuffed and when you don't really have to do all the things that the rest of us have to do, you don't have to go bond out with a fee to get out and use a bail bondsman to get out of jail, and you don't have to have a, you know, your mugshot in the traditional sense. He literally got to go into a secret court. The media was allowed to watch, but nobody was allowed to bring cameras or anything into the court. So he went into the secret chamber, whatever, and people could tell you what they saw, but that's about it. He gets this special privilege all the way down the line. And you would say, well, he deserves that, Sam. It's the president of the United States, former president of the United States. This is, some say he's still the president. This is, you know, different. And I don't see how it's different. He's not the president now. He's just an American citizen. That's one of the things that, look, George Washington walked out of the White House after his term. I don't even think he had armed guards with him. And he just walked down the street and the people loved him and he just went home. Okay, now we've got where we're going to give this former president special treatment because he's who, what, Rockstar Donald? And Donald even highlighted that at the end of the quote we just played. He's like, hey, I've got a big platform. They can't do this so much to me, but they sure can and will to you. You'll be shut down and done. And he acknowledges that truth. But that's why we're calling this the Trump indictment deception. We're telling you that the media is playing a role to help promote Donald Trump and keep him in the media, giving him free support till the cows come home. And why does the deep state want Trump to be the next president? Well, okay. I think that they want him to be, but they're okay if he's not also, as long as he stays in the media and plays this cartoon character, so to speak, along with the other front runners, Chris.
Yeah, and that's a good way to describe him, a cartoon character, because we've devolved intellectually and spiritually to the point where, you know, we're on the verge of figuratively electing a cartoon character as our next president because we're that childish. And that's to be distinguished from childlike. We should be childlike, but not childish. We should be intellectually strong, but not prideful. That's childlike. But it's typecasting. So that's my third point, why I believe the media is actively promoting Donald Trump as our next president, because he is being typecast. And there's a very important reason why Donald Trump, with his demeanor, you know, he's been accused of being rude, crude, insensitive, brutish. And all of those are true, all those attributes, whether it's feigned or real, those actually fit him to a T. And we'll talk about that in going into the second hour.
They also treat him as the infinite nice guy billionaire, which is all true, too. I mean, look how complimentary he was to the police and to those who ran the jail and to those who were at the event where he got supposedly indicted. I mean, he praised them to the cows come home. If you're one of that staff, you're loving the Donald, right? So he's very good at that. You know what? He's a really nice guy if you're loyal enough, if he likes what you have to say, too. And they paint both of this side so well. It's called polarization to perfection, in my humble opinion, ladies and gentlemen. Hour one in the can, hour two coming up. Sam and Chris breaking it down just for you on the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live. LovingLiberty.net. Spread the word. Share the love. Donate if you can. God save the Republic.